Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Massachusetts is home to the nation's number one fishing port. More than $300 million worth of seafood lands in New Bedford every year. But the kind of seafood is changing as rising ocean temperatures are driving fish from southern waters into New England's waters. In response, local researchers are developing artificial intelligence to promote smarter fishing, and private companies are working on alternatives, including bioengineered fish and even growing the flesh of fish in laboratories. This morning, in our series, Lab to Table, The Future of Our Food, WBUR's Callum Borchers looks at what may come next from the sea, or perhaps from an indoor tank, or even a test tube.
This barrel is a 6-foot diameter barrel, and inside it we put these cameras.
Danny Eilertson pauses a tour of his recently renovated scalloping boat to pull up a video clip on his smartphone. The third-generation fisherman explains that the footage is from a trip where he submerged this camera-equipped barrel and dragged it through the Gulf of Maine. The barrel is open at both ends, so fish can pass through.
What are we seeing here? I can't.
Codfish. Beautiful codfish.
So this is the cod end.
Eilertson's trained eye identifies fish species right away, and in a lab in New Bedford, researchers led by UMass Dartmouth's Kevin Stokesbury are teaching a computer to do the same thing using video shot from Eilertson's boat.
Right now we're at the point where we can identify flatfish, roundfish, and others, and eventually we hope it can run and count the fish in real time.
This is machine learning in process, that you are teaching the machine how to recognize.
That's right, yeah, and it's fairly labor intensive.
Stokesbury says his team will need thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of samples of each species before the computer can reliably identify them. If they work, underwater cameras and artificial intelligence could help solve a long-standing problem. Because they can't see underwater, fishermen invariably catch protected species in their dragnets. Ed Washburn says this hurts the bottom line. He's the New Bedford Port Authority's executive director.
You're targeting haddock, but if you catch too much cod, you have to stop fishing.
You can't sort it out, but you can't just throw the cod back or something?
No. So if it comes onto the deck and there's observers on board, there's an assumption that it won't survive even if you throw it back.
Those onboard observers are from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which enforces catch limits. NOAA says it's interested in a smart underwater eye because it could enhance conservation efforts. But AI isn't the only kind of high-tech project in the works.
Here at Aqua Bounty Technologies, we specialize in the production of environmentally sustainable, high-quality seafood.
Maynard-based Aqua Bounty has genetically modified an Atlantic salmon using genes from the larger Chinook salmon and the ocean pout eel. The resulting fish can grow to market weight in 18 months, about half the time of a wild salmon. Aqua Bounty produces fish in indoor tanks in Panama, where regulations are looser, and it's been selling GMO salmon in Canada for a couple of years. Almost three decades after its founding, Aqua Bounty says it's close to selling its first fish in the U.S. Chief Executive Ron Stottish says his company's product is necessary.
We've overfished our oceans. So as our population grows by another billion or so people in the next 20 years, how are we going to feed them? I'm not saying we're going to feed them all with salmon, but we have to find a better way to meet those needs by using technology that can help us produce the foods of the future.
Aqua Bounty has FDA approval and an indoor farming facility ready to go in Indiana. But to begin operations there, the company would need to import its genetically modified salmon eggs from Panama. It can't because Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski attached a ban on such imports to this year's federal spending bill. Here's Murkowski at a congressional hearing.
We refer to this GE salmon as Frankenfish. The valid question and concern is whether or not this fish should even be called a salmon. And there's great fear that lies with these mutated fish that have not...
Aqua Bounty's Stottish calls the senator's position almost un-American. He says he's confident Congress will ultimately lift the ban. If it does, Aqua Bounty would still face the challenge of convincing supermarkets to carry the fish and convincing consumers to eat it. Stottish says the company aims to win over the environmentally conscious, eat-local crowd.
Today, salmon are produced in cold water regions of the world, such as the fjords of Norway or the protected coast of southern Chile. And then those fish have to be transported great distances. So this represents a tremendous opportunity to produce an environmentally sustainable product closer to the consumer.
This pitch sounds a lot like what companies developing cultured meat are saying. They're working on beef, chicken, and fish assembled from cell cultures in a laboratory. No slaughtering necessary. Investors include some of the biggest names in the food industry, like Tyson and Cargill. One Israeli startup claims it's on track to lower the cost of lab-grown beef and chicken to a point where it'll be competitive with the natural stuff in 2020. Lab-grown seafood is farther behind. When a Silicon Valley startup called Finless Foods staged a small-scale tasting of lab-grown carp last year, the production cost was about $19,000 a pound.
It is not very close to your table.
Ben Wergoft is a visiting scholar at MIT and is writing a book about cultured meat. He says the promises of cultured meat sound good, but he's skeptical of what he calls the hype machine around the technology.
Most cultured meat startups may have the ultimate goal of removing things about industrial animal ag that we all think are unhealthy, morally reprehensible, unsustainable environmentally, but they also have more immediate needs, like making money.
In Duxbury Bay, Island Creek oyster farm owner Skip Bennett pays attention to seafood technology, too. In fact, the onshore hatchery where his shellfish begin their lives resembles a science lab, with tanks of fluorescent algae carefully analyzed to ensure they meet the baby oyster's nutritional needs. Bennett says the farm will begin a partnership with UMass Boston next year, equipping a buoy with sensors to monitor water temperature and acidity.
Well, we know things are going to change, whether that's climate change or impacts of acidification. So we really need a baseline now so that in the future we can make adjustments to meet those changes.
Adjustments will be key to the future of Island Creek's business, but to Bennett, the future of seafood more broadly comes down to this.
Whatever's caught local and it's really abundant. 2 weeks ago, I caught mackerel off our dock down here. I brought them home and cooked them, and they're just phenomenal. And, you know, and then in the summer, striped bass, they've rebounded incredibly, and it's just a great resource, well-managed.
As scientists and startups invent ways for diners to keep eating familiar fish, seafood lovers may also have to learn to love whatever the new catch of the day might be. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Callum Borchers.